read this story. This three-legged dog walked into an old-fashioned Western town carrying a gun. And the sheriff went up to him and said, well, now, we don't want any problems or any, we don't want you to cause any trouble. He said, I won't cause any trouble. I'm just looking for the guy that shot my paw. Hey, man, Genesis 37. Hey, I got some Baptist to smile on a Sunday morning. That's a good feat, if it is over foolishness. Genesis 37, and read. And the story, you know the story, it's about Joseph. I'm just going to go in the middle of the story. And verse number 15, the Bible says in Genesis 37, verse number 15, the Bible says, and a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you for saving me. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church this morning. And Lord, I thank you for all these folks that have gathered together. And Lord, I pray that you've been worshipped already in the song service and in the fellowship. Lord, as we open your word now to preach, I ask, Lord, for your touch and anointing. I need you, Lord. I pray you'd speak to hearts here this morning. Bless your people, Lord. Give them something from the word of God that'd be a blessing and a help to them. Lord, I need you now. I pray if there's any not saved here this morning, Lord, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. But we love you, and we'll give you all the glory for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to preach out of verse number 15. The Bible says, and a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And I'm just going to take a phrase out of this verse, and I'm not really preaching out of this text, but just out of this verse, the last little phrase in verse 15, the Bible, the question is asked, what seekest thou? I want to preach this morning on that question and sort of ask us that question this morning. What seekest thou? What are you seeking after? What are you looking for? You know, mankind today, all around the world, they're always looking or seeking for something new, something to satisfy, something to bring joy and peace into their life, something that will make their life seem as if it's special. I looked up that word. To seek means to go in search or quest of. To endeavor to find or gain by any means possible. To search for by going place to place, to press or drive forward for something. I thought that was interesting. It said to endeavor to find or gain by any means. And you find in the world today, some folks will go to any means to get something that they're looking for. I heard a story just a couple months ago. A man and a wife had been married 20 plus years, had a couple children. They were teenagers and began to have problems in their marriage. And that man began to want to get revenge on that woman. They separated, and boy, that revenge drove that man. And it just began to consume his thoughts of getting revenge. He blamed that woman for them being separated, and for this man had a lot of problems in his life, and he blamed that woman for it. And one day he walked in the house where that woman was with a chainsaw. He killed her, killed himself. Very gruesome scene. What drove him? Because he was seeking revenge by any means that it took for him to seek revenge. And, you know, even as we come to church today, many go to church and it's not maybe for the right reason. Some go and they're seeking man's approval. They want maybe the pastor, maybe they want somebody to approve of them being in church on a Sunday morning. Some go so they have a soothed conscience, so their conscience doesn't bother them that they weren't in church. Some go out of self-righteousness so others will seem and look, and to others they might seem as if they're a good person or a good Christian. Some might go out of religious duty. Some might go just because somebody pestered them long enough to come, and so they came. But why did we come today? What seekest thou? You know what some are seeking today? Some, they seek fun or friends or fads or fashions or riches, or they seek to be relevant in the world. Some, they seek gain and self-fulfillment and a good time. And but the question that I'm trying to ask this morning is, what seekest thou? What are we seeking after? Matthew 7:7 says, seek and ye shall find. Look in Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel chapter number 9. I'm going to give you a few things this morning that I believe we should be seeking after. But look in Daniel chapter number 9. I believe Daniel gives us some insight on how we should seek for these things that I'm going to preach on for a few minutes here today. Daniel chapter 9, in verse number 3, Daniel says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." It's interesting, when Daniel needed some help, he said he set his face unto God to seek. And how did he seek? He sought it by prayer and supplications and fasting with sackcloth and ashes. In other words, he was willing to pray about it. He was willing to fast, to push away and do without in sackcloth and ashes. I'm going to go to Psalms chapter number 14. Look at a couple verses here in Psalms. Psalms chapter number 14. "What seekest thou this morning?" I'm going to give you some things that we should seek after. Psalms chapter number 14. The Bible says this in Psalms chapter 14 verse 2. The Bible says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." You don't have to go there, but Psalms chapter 53 verse 2, familiar, similar verses. "God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and to seek God." I'm going to tell you this morning, number one, what should we seek after? We should seek God. We should seek God. Proverbs 28:5 says, "Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things." Go to Ezra chapter number 8 this morning. We're going to look at a good bit of verses here this morning, so try to stay with me. Ezra chapter number 8. This morning we should seek God. Ezra chapter number 8. And I'm going to read in verse number 21. Ezra chapter 8, verse number 21, the Bible says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of Him," who? God, "a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance." In Ezra there, he began to seek God. And for what? Three things. He said, for a right way. We ought to seek God for direction, for the will of God in our life. For our little ones, that's for our family. He said, for all our substance. For everything we have, who should we seek after? We should seek God. Isaiah chapter 58 verse 2 says that we should seek God daily. You know, God should not be somebody that we think about on Sunday morning or just on Sunday night or maybe on Wednesday night, but daily we should seek after God. Psalms 104 verse 21 talks about those that seek their meat from God. You know what we need to do daily is seek our spiritual meat from God. Go to Psalms chapter 105. Psalms chapter number 105. I'm preaching on seeking after God and seeking after God daily. Psalms 105, verse number 4. The Bible says this, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore." You know, as we live life in the world that we live in, we are faced with temptations and trials and difficulties and problems that come into our life. And many times we fail, we might fall, we might stumble, we might give in to a temptation, we might fail a test. And one of the reasons is that our strength is small. But in Psalms 105:4 it says, "Seek the Lord and His strength." And the truth was, if we had the strength from God, we would not have failed. We would not have fallen. We would not have given in to that temptation or failed the test that God gave them. But we did because we had not daily sought after God and the strength that God has available. It says, "Seek His strength." Too many weak Christians today, even in our churches, many young people are falling away, leaving God and leaving church and chasing the pleasures of the world and the pleasures of sin. Why? Because spiritually they're weak because they've not sought God and the strength that comes from God. Not only should we seek God daily, but in Matthew 6:33, we ought to seek Him first. He wants to be first in our life. God does not want last place. Amen. God does not want the leftovers of our life. God does not want to be in the middle of our life. He wants to be first. He wants to be the very hub that our entire life revolves around. And everything else falls into place outside of God. That might seem like pretty simple, but I'm telling you, you look in our churches today, one of the reasons that this world is in the mess we're in is that our churches or many churches, they're in a mess, and we've got people in church that God is not number one. God's not even number two. They just fit God in when He's convenient. They're looking for a convenient God. God's not looking to be your convenient God. He's looking to be the God of your life, the King of your life. He wants to be the one in charge. He wants to be first in your life. That's why church, I like going to church on Sunday, the first day of the week. We give God the first, the very best. We give Him the first 10% of our increase. We give Him the best of everything we ought to give God. He wants to be first. Go to Proverbs chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter number 8, just preaching on what seekest thou? And preaching on seeking God as you came this morning. Did you come because you're seeking God? Are you looking for God? Are you endeavoring to find or gain God by any means possible? Look in Proverbs chapter number 8, verse number 17. The Bible says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. You know, God, not only should we seek God daily and first, but we ought to seek Him early. You go through the book of Psalms, it talks many times about seeking God in the morning and in the early time. Psalm 63, go ahead and go over there. Psalm 63, I said we're going to look at a lot of verses this morning. Psalm chapter 63, a familiar portion here in verse number 1, a Psalm of David. Psalm 63, verse 1, the Bible says, O God, Thou art my God. And you know, for you to seek after God, God has got to become your God. He's got to become personal to you. Not that He's just the God of the Bible, not just that He's your church's God or your pastor's God. Young people, not just that He's your parents' God, but that He is your God. David says, Thou art my God. It wasn't that He was his father's dad, God, or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, although He is. But David said, He's my God. It became personal with David. And in all of our life, there needs to come a time where God is personal. He's my God. He's just not the God of the Bible, but He's my God. He says, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. Why did David say early will I seek Thee? Because it was his God and it was a priority. He says, My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. David said, Early will I seek Thee. We ought to seek God early. I believe that two ways. Early in the day, we ought to seek God. I know, listen, some people I've talked to, they read their Bible and pray before they go to bed, and that's great. If you do that, I'm fine. But I believe there is something about starting your day with God, telling God, You're most important to me. I will not dare go about my day, about my business, without taking at least a few minutes, Lord, spend them reading Your Bible and praying, trying to get some help, trying to get some direction, some strength for the day, and just showing God that He's most important and putting God on the throne of your life for that day. We ought to seek God early. But can I also say this, that I believe at an early age, if you're young people here in church, at an early age, you ought to begin to seek after God. The Bible doesn't say you have to wait till you turn 18 or 21 or 25 to seek after God. In 2 Chronicles 34, we won't go there, but Joash is made king. He's 8 years old when he's made king. Boy, can you imagine the disaster today? You make an 8-year-old king or president, put him in charge of anything. I mean, they can barely be in charge of cleaning their bedroom, let alone ruling a nation. But 8 years old, Joash was made king. And the Bible says when he had reigned 8 years, so that means he would be 16 years old. The Bible says he began to seek after God. 16 years old, Joash said, you know what? I need God. He said, I'm not going to seek God because of Jehoiada, the high priest, who has sort of adopted me. I'm going to seek God because I need God. And what that tells me is that young people, teenagers, you can seek God. You can want God in your life. We ought to seek Him early in our life. Early in the day, we ought to seek God. And Deuteronomy 4, verse 29 talks about seeking God with the whole heart and the whole soul. Not just half-heartedly. Amen. I remember, as we grew up, one thing that Dad, he tried drilling into us is whatever you do with your whole heart. Don't do anything half-hearted, whether it's a chore, whether it's your schoolwork. That one didn't take quite so well, but he tried. Whether it's a game that you're playing, whatever it is you do it wholeheartedly to God. The Bible says, whatsoever thy hand find to do, do with all thy might. The Bible said in Deuteronomy 4, Moses is preaching the children of Israel. He said, seek God with your whole heart. All your heart and all your soul should be given to seeking after God. You know, there's something that we put our heart into. There's something that we all go after wholeheartedly. And I'm not saying it's sin to go after something wholeheartedly, but I believe it's wrong when we don't go after God wholeheartedly with our life. When we just fit God into our little religious slots in the week or in our life that we have, and the rest of our life is about our business and our hobbies. So God wants to be sought with our whole heart. Now that in Psalms chapter 40, it says we ought to seek God with rejoicing. You know, that's good because for you, if you'd look at a lot of Christians today, you would think they were just doing a duty, that they just had a chore that they were doing. And there's no joy, there's no happiness in them seeking after God. And everything they do for God is just to get it done so they can say they did it and they can move on. But Psalms 40, David talked about seeking God with rejoicing. We ought to rejoice when it's time to go to church or when we get to read our Bible or pray or do something that's spiritual. There ought to be rejoicing in our heart. You know, growing up, we had chores to do in the house. And I hate to admit it, but it's just the fact of the matter. I never usually went to do my chores rejoicing and happy. The only part I rejoiced about is when they were done. And I got to go do something that I thought was more enjoyable. Well, God help us if that's how we live our Christian life. Well, everything that we do spiritually, it's not rejoice, it's just to get it done so we can go do what we would consider to be fun. I mean, it would just be awful if you read just a little bit extra Bible one day. I mean, if you got and you finished whatever if you read a page or a chapter or 2 pages or 3 chapters, whatever it is you try to read, I mean, it would just be awful if you just read a little extra, right? Or if you, instead of praying 5 minutes one day, I mean, you really went all out and prayed 7 minutes. I mean, that would just be awful, right? Or I mean, if you were going out knocking doors and when you finished what you were supposed to do, you just went and did one more block. I mean, that would be awful. With rejoicing, not just to get it done, but seeking God with rejoicing. In Hebrews 11:6, a very famous verse, familiar verse, but in the end it says, those that diligently seek Him. How should we seek God? Diligently. You talk to anybody in here who's been saved for any length of time and they're still in church. You know one of the reasons is? Because they diligently seek God. They're diligent about it. They're careful. They're faithful about it. It's important to them to seek after God. I feel bad for folks who don't think that they need God. That don't diligently seek after God. I met a young man yesterday knocking doors. He's in his 20s. Said he used to go to church. In fact, he used to go to church, a church that Jack Kranz pastored. Knew Jack Kranz. Said he was saved. Asked him, does he go to church anymore? He goes, no, I don't have time to go to church. I'm busy with work and busy with stuff. I mean, what a shame to feel that you don't need to go to church and you don't need God. I mean, I've been in church my whole life, and I know it's hard for some of you to believe, but I have. But you know what I still see even today is my need for God. I need God. And to seek after God diligently. 1 Chronicles 16 verse 11 talks about seeking God continually. In other words, no quitting. Okay, maybe you've been seeking God for 5 years or 10 years, maybe 20 years. But you know what the Bible says? Do it continually. Be faithful. You know, older folks, and that's a very relevant term. Amen. If you're older than me, I count you older folks. Amen. Anyways, folks older. Amen. People are watching you. Maybe you've been in church 15 years, but there's a younger generation that's watching to see if you will continually seek God, to see how diligent and faithful you'll be. In 2 Chronicles 15, when Asa was king, Asa made the people make a covenant, and their covenant was that they would seek after God. And the next verse says they vowed vows and prayed unto God and made a covenant that they would seek only after God. Can you imagine if pastors of our independent fundamental churches, before somebody wanted to join, they made them make a covenant and vow a vow that they would only seek after God? Boy, he'd be accused of being a cult and being a wacko. But that's what Asa did in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 12 through 15. And then Psalms 105 says we should seek Him evermore. Continually, faithfully. There's never a time we don't need to seek after God. Go to Ezra chapter number 6. We were in Ezra a little while ago. Go to Ezra chapter number 6. Just preaching this morning on what seekest thou? What are you seeking after in your life? The last week, the last month, the last year of your life, what is it that you're seeking for? What is it you're looking for? What is it that you're searching diligently for? I believe we ought to seek after God. Ezra chapter number 6, verse number 21. The Bible says this, Ezra 6:21, "And the children of Israel, which were come again out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat, and kept the feast of unleavened bread," and it goes on. You know, it's interesting, verse 21, it says there was a group of those Jews that had separated themselves from the filthiness of the heathen of the land. And what was the reason they had separated themselves? To seek the Lord God of Israel. You know, why do we believe in and try to practice separating ourselves from the filthiness of the heathen of this land that we live in? Tim, it's not for self-righteousness. It's not to be a Pharisee that we can look down on the publicans and sinners and say, "Oh, I thank God I'm not like they are." That's not it. It's supposed to be that we can seek after God, where we realize this world and the filthiness of this world and of the heathen of this world, it will hold us back. It will be a restraint on us as we try to seek God. This world and sin and the filthiness of this world will hold us back and it'll keep us from being able to seek after God. And those Jews realized if they wanted to seek God, they had to separate themselves. They had to cut some stuff away and get away from certain things so that they could seek God. You know why some don't seek God today? They claim to be saved. They claim they're going to heaven, yet they don't fully seek after God. Why is it? There's things of this world they've become entangled with that are holding them back. The restrictions, they're bound by things and they do not seek God like they should. I've seen people sit in church right where some of you are this morning. They began to allow things of the world creep into their life. And they always said things like, "Hey, I can handle it. It's just one thing. It's just a little thing. Hey, it's no big deal." And they begin to slowly allow things in. And you can watch them and they begin slowly to not seek after God like they once did. We need to separate from the uncleanness of the heathen of the land. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 3 says they sought God with a fast. They were willing to do without for a while in order that they might seek after God. You know what that shows us? That shows us the true desires of their heart. When you're willing to fast for something, you're pretty serious about it. Amen. Especially as much as some of us like to eat. Amen. And I like to eat. We don't eat for strength like the Bible says. Most of us eat for pleasure. And I'm afraid I'm guilty there, but we do. But when you're willing to go without food or go without certain things so that you can seek God, that shows the real desire of your heart. Because you know what it's easy to do today? It's easy to fool people. It's easy to put on that you're something that you're not really. It's easy to deceive others. You know, I could come in here this morning. I can dress up and come to church. And you know what? You might think, man, he really wants to seek after God. But in my heart could be far from God. But I could deceive you. You could come here this morning and look the part and play the part and dress the part and talk the part. But your heart might not be where your outside appears that it is. And it's easy to deceive. It's easy to pretend. We live in a very artificial world. Everything's fake. So much is fake, I should say. It's easy to be like a fake Christian, if you know what I'm saying, even though Christians are, I understand it doesn't go. But, you know, pretend to be something we're not. But when you're willing to fast and separate from things, that shows the true intents of your heart. You know, the blessing about looking for God or seeking after God, the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 28:9, if we seek after God, He has promised to be found. You know, we're not looking for something that we're not sure we're ever going to find it. You ever lose something around the house? Anybody ever lose anything? Well, if you haven't, borrow my kids for a while and you begin to lose things. Amen. I promise. Guaranteed to work. Or your money back. Amen. But I mean, you lose something in the house, and when you set out to find that, you're hoping you find it, and you're thinking you might, but you're not guaranteed to find that which you lost or that which you might be seeking after. There's people in the world today, as I mentioned earlier, they're seeking after pleasure or a good time, and they're not guaranteed to find it. But God said, if you seek me, I'll be found of those that seek me. You say, I've been seeking God, I can't find him. Well, God promised to be found of those that seek him. Psalms 34 says, if we seek him, he'll deliver us from our fears. Matthew 5:6 says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall what? Shall be filled. He'll fill us. Psalms 24, verse 3 through 6 says, they that seek God, they're the ones that shall stand in the holy place and receive the blessing of the Lord. But you know why some don't seek God? In Psalms 10:4, the pride in their heart will not seek after God. Pride will keep us from seeking after God. Pride, and we thinking that we're more important than we really are, will keep us from seeking after God. I want you to go to Romans chapter number 10. Let me give you one last thing about seeking after God before I move on. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 20. Romans chapter 10. What seekest thou? We ought to be seeking after God. Romans chapter 10 verse 20. The Bible says, but Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Esaias, is Isaiah, and that's a quote from Isaiah 65, verse number 1. And what did God say? He said, I was found of them that sought me not. You know what I'm glad? Is I'm glad that when we were lost, many of us, we were not seeking for God. We were not looking for God. You know what God did? He was found of them that sought him not. I'm thankful that even a lost person may not seek after God, but God can still be found of a lost person when they're not seeking after God. I know most of your testimony. Brother Dan gave his testimony in the prison the other night. He was working that job, going to college. The truth was, he wasn't looking for God, but God was looking for him so much he put a Christian right in his place, of his path, a Christian that was bold enough to be a witness to him. Why? He wouldn't look for God, but God was looking for him. I think of the woman at the well. She didn't come for Christ. She came for some water. She wasn't looking for God, but God was looking for her. And all of us, if we were honest, that we may have, God may have done some in our life where we began to look for God, but I'm telling you, we were not looking for God, but God was looking for us and got on our trail. And I'm thankful that God is found of those that don't seek after him. That's us. Amen. I'm thankful for that. Not only should we seek after God, but go to Psalms chapter number 27 real quick this morning. Psalms chapter 27, we ought to seek the house of God. Psalms chapter number 27, we ought to seek God. And number two, we ought to seek the house of God. Psalms chapter 27 verse 4, the Bible says this, another psalm of David. David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David, what's the one thing that you desired of the Lord? What's the one thing that you desire and that you're going to seek after? He said that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. We ought to seek the house of God. And obviously, it's a Sunday morning, y'all in church, so that's a good thing. Amen. Maybe this point be better preached to those out there that are mowing their yard and doing their shopping and washing their cars and working on the Lord's day. But we ought to seek the house of God. Why did David seek the house of God? You know the verse in Psalms 122, verse 1. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of our God. It would help you to seek the house of God if you were glad to go to church. Amen. Man, some people come to church and it's, like I said, it's just a chore many times. But we ought to be glad to go to church. Not only that, but David in Psalms 92, he saw the importance of being planted in church. He talked about it being planted in church like being a tree that bring forth fruit even in your old age. In Psalms chapter 77, David, for the first 12 verses, in Psalm 73, he's lamenting about the wicked man, how it appears like the lost and the wicked. They seem to have a blessed life. And then he says, until I went into the sanctuary, then understood I therein. I'm telling you, when you go to church, there's understanding in church. There's things you may not understand, but if you just stay in church, listen to the preaching, enjoy the fellowship, God will slowly begin to give you understanding in the church. There's things you see that you never saw before. Many times the preacher, the pastor might preach something. You might be, man, I don't see that. Well, listen, maybe you just need to be in church just a little bit longer before you have that understanding that God gives in the church. Not only this, but let me read you this verse. Psalm 77, verse number 13, the Bible says, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You know, that verse, that sort of does away with those who believe you can just meet with God in nature. Just go in the woods and God is everywhere, and God is everywhere. But the Bible says His way is in the sanctuary. You go through the New Testament, you know what God did? He works through the local church. That's just how God chose. He shed His blood for the church. Amen. David said he had learned in Psalms. If you go to Psalms 122, go ahead and turn over there. I read verse 1, which is, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. But the end of that Psalm, the last verse of Psalms 122, we often, we don't read or quote. But look at Psalms 122, verse 9. David said, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Do you understand what David says there? Because of church, because of me going to church, because of the help and the understanding, I will seek thy good. Who? The good of his brethren, the good of the Jews. He said, I will seek your good, your benefit. Why? Because I go to church. I said, being in church will help you. It helps us grow as a Christian. If you really seek the Lord, you also seek to go to his house. And let me tell you, number three, I believe we ought to seek the word of God. Go to Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter number 34. We ought to seek God. We ought to seek the house of God. That's why every time the doors are open, if you're really seeking God, I believe you'll be faithful if you seek the house of God. Number three, we ought to seek the word of God. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16, the Bible says this, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. What should we seek? We ought to seek the word of God. It says right there to read. Isaiah 34, 16. We ought to read the word of God. I know this is nothing new. It's good to be reminded about. If you seek the word of God, you'll read it. How will you read it? You read it daily. You read it carefully. You read it with an open heart. You read it so, as David said, to behold wondrous things out of thy law. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Just as a newborn baby desires its mother's milk, the Bible says a Christian will desire the word of God. Why do we often not desire the word of God? You don't have to go there. I just read this to you, something that I saw a little while ago. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. The very next verse, that ye may grow thereby. My question is, why do so many who call themselves Christians not desire the word of God? The next verse in 1 Peter 2, verse 3 says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know why many people don't desire the word of God? Because they've never tasted that the Lord is gracious. I believe that many are not truly saved. Because the Bible says if you get saved, you're just like a newborn baby. Nobody has to tell a newborn baby that it should desire its mother's milk. It doesn't have to take a course or a class. It's just natural. And as natural as that is, it's as natural for a newborn Christian to desire the word of God. Another reason I believe many don't desire the word of God, the first verse in 1 Peter 2 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings as newborn babes, many don't desire it because of the sin they have in their heart. See, verse 1 says, lay aside all this sin, malice and hypocrisies and evil speakings and envyings. You lay that aside, you get right. And then you desire the word of God as a newborn babe. So maybe there's sin in our life that is keeping us from desiring the word of God. Or maybe it's just that we've not tasted that the Lord is gracious. Job said he deemed the word of God more necessary than his food. Listen, the word of God, it helps us grow. We need it. What importance does the Bible have in your life? Not only should we read the Bible, we ought to search them. John 5:39 talks about search the scriptures. We ought to see it for yourself. We ought to learn the Bible. We ought to know the Bible. I believe that's one area that many times we fall short of with our young people, is everything they think they know and think they believe is just what they've heard. But they don't know the Bible for their own Bible. They just know what they've been told. And to show somebody out of the Word of God, they don't know. They couldn't find the verses. They don't know why baptism doesn't save. And they can't find it. I mean, they know what they've heard. What do we need to do? We need to get in the Bible and search the Bible. Joshua 1:8 says we ought to meditate on the Bible. How often? Day and night. You know, meditation is something that is being lost in the day and age we live in. In the day and age we live in, it's very busy. But then also with all these devices, there's always noise and screens and things to be watching and things to be reading and things to be listening to. very busy, busy on our mind, busy on our eyes, busy on our ears, and all that busyness, it prohibits us from meditating on the Word of God. Joshua 1:8 says, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Let me ask you this, just a simple thought. But if you're meditating on the Word of God, do you think you're going to give in when you're tempted to sin? It's going to be hard to sin. It's going to be hard to give in to the lust of the flesh. If you're meditating, if I'm meditating on the Word of God day and night, am I going to have evil thoughts about a brother or sister in Christ? It's going to be hard. Am I going to be at odds one with another? It's going to be hard if I'm meditating therein day and night. I believe when we read our Bible, we shouldn't just read it to read it. One of the reasons we ought to read it is to get something that we can meditate on throughout the day and think on the Word of God. Then James 1 says, be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only. Not only should we meditate on it, we ought to obey it. We ought to do what the Bible says to do. And then let me give you the fourth thing. You don't have to go there, but Luke 19:10 says that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Not only should we seek God and seek the house of God and seek the Word of God, we ought to seek the lost. We ought to seek the lost. The Bible does tell us to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Christ came to seek and to save the lost. You know, the thing you see about Christ as you read the gospels is everywhere he went, it was like he was looking for somebody, a sinner to reach out to. He was looking. Whether it was Zacchaeus that was up in the sycamore tree, the Lord noticed him. He was looking for him. Whether it was Matthew sitting there collecting taxes, whether it was Peter, James, and John as they were mending their nets and just going about their daily business, he was looking for him. As I mentioned, the woman of Samaria, she drew water. God was looking for her. The two blind men, remember he was traveling from Jericho up to Jerusalem. There's two blind men on the side of the road that the Lord stopped and took time to do something for their condition. He healed them of their blindness. How about the maniac of Gadara? The Bible says that they crossed the sea. And in Matthew 4, they endured a great storm of wind and the waves beat in. And the ship began to fill with water and the Lord stood up and calmed the sea. Remember that? And in chapter 5, verse 1, he meets the maniac of Gadara. That man gets saved by the grace of God. You know what God does after you get saved? He gets in the boat and he goes back to where he just came from. You know what the Lord did just to reach one crazy man? He took that ship across the sea with his disciples. The disciples thought they were going to die. They said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? It was a terrible storm. Those disciples were sure they were going to die. Yet he did all that to save one man. Then he went right back to where he came from. Why? God, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He was looking by any means possible. He was looking for a lost person he could bring to God. Well, if it meant a boat ride all the way across the sea in the midst of a terrible storm, if it means going out of his way to go through Samaria and talk to a fallen woman, it didn't matter. Why, he was looking for somebody to save. Be a blessing if we could get that attitude about it. As we go about our day and about our life, that we're looking for the lost that we can be a witness to. Can I tell you this? You don't have to look very hard. They're everywhere. They're all around us. They're everywhere. Not only did he come to seek and to save, but the Bible tells us, teaches us, we should go anywhere to find the lost. If you look in the story of Matthew 22 and the parallel story in Luke, verse 9 of Matthew 22, he says, as many as you find, bid come to the marriage of the Lamb. As many as you find. What's that mean? If you find something, you've got to be what? Looking for it. He told those servants when, remember, he sent out invitations and many had rejected them. And then he sent his servants out. He said, go out into the highways, the hedges. Another passage said, go out into the streets and lanes of the city. He says, and as many as you find, compel them to come in. In other words, go looking. Go hunt them down. Go in the highways, the hedges, the streets, the lanes of the city. Go everywhere. Go anywhere. But find somebody to bring to God. What a great lesson in that story. He didn't care where they came from, what status or social status or race they were, or their income level. It didn't matter where they got them, what they looked like. He just said, find them and bring them. Get them in here. So we're supposed to go anywhere to find the lost. Not only that, was to go with compassion. A great passage, the end of Matthew 9, the Bible says the Lord, he was moved with compassion. You know, The truth is, it's probably been a while since some of us have been moved with compassion. Listen, compassion is more than just pity. We can look at somebody that the world would call down on their luck. You know what I mean? Somebody's just having a rough time. We could look at them. We could have pity on them. But compassion is more than pity. In the Bible, compassion, it moves you. And it'll move you to do something about it. And when God saw that city of Jerusalem and those Jews, the Bible says he was moved with compassion. And it moved him, Caleb, all the way to the cross of Calvary. That's what the Lord was willing to do because of the compassion that he had on a lost and a dying world. You know what we need? We need compassion. It'll move us, it'll motivate us to do something. And again, not just out of duty. And I'm not trying to be mean here this morning, but if the only time that we're trying to be a witness is when it's a church organized visitation, shame on us. Shame on us. I mean, that's good. I'm glad when you come to visitation and when you do something that the church organizes. But if that's the only time, shame on us. I'd say we're not seeking the lost like Christ was seeking the lost. I ask you this morning. Don't answer it out loud. Not only when's the last time we moved compassion, but when's the last time maybe you shed a tear over a sinner? You know, interesting verse in the book of Psalms says, they that sow in tears shall reap with rejoicing. Many times, maybe our witness is not very effective because we've not shed many tears. And again, they're not fake tears or false tears, but they're tears that God will squeeze your heart and bring the tears. We're supposed to seek the lost. How valuable is the lost? But one lost person is very valuable to Christ. We might look at them and not see much value. But the story in Luke 15, the man who lost one sheep. You know, you would think he had 100 sheep. He only lost one. I mean, if I gave you 100 sheep to watch and you kept 99, I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, you only lost one. You still had 99. But to that shepherd, that wasn't good enough. He wasn't okay with one lost sheep. What did he do? He left the 99 and he went into the wilderness. After one lost sheep. Again, never knowing if he'd find it. But in that shepherd's mind, not finding that sheep was not an option. The Bible says this, what shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So that tells you and I the value of a soul to Jesus Christ is more than the entire world. One soul is worth more than the entire world. That's the value of one soul. You know what happens to you and I? We don't see the value of the soul as God sees the value. Why don't you go real quick, go to Proverbs. Go to the book of Proverbs before we move on here. Let me find the verse here. Proverbs chapter 29. Son of man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 10. It's an interesting verse here. The Bible says, the bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. You know, I see quite a contrast there. The Bible says, the bloodthirsty. Does that talk of good or bad to you? The bloodthirsty. Bloodthirsty, I mean, that's pretty bad. I mean, the bloodthirsty, that could be the cannibals. Amen? The bloodthirsty, that could be the murderers. The bloodthirsty, that's a bad person. You know what the bloodthirsty does? He hates the upright. Hates the upright. If you're trying to live upright, the bloodthirsty, they hate you. But what's the last part of that verse says? But the just seek his soul. You know what happens to us? And it happens to me sometimes. You look at somebody, and boy, what you see is you see the outside of them. You see all the earrings on the guys and all the tattoos and the way they're dressed and the way they talk and the habits they're involved in. You know what we do? We see the outside. We see the bloodthirsty man. We see the wicked man, the vile man. The Bible says, but the just seeks his soul. If you're a just person, when you see that person, you're not going to see the outside of him. You're going to see him as a soul, an eternal soul that's going to either heaven or hell. And your desire would be not to mutter because they cussed in front of you or they got a cigarette. They're going to hell because they got a beer bottle. No, they got a soul and your desire, you are seeking their soul like Christ came to seek and to save the lost. No matter what they're like, they don't get sidetracked by the looks, by their actions. They're just concerned with their eternal souls. We went out yesterday and tried to knock a couple doors. Do you understand? Those people that you knocked on their doors, they have a soul that's going to live forever. And we don't know, they might die. They could die any moment. God can come back today and they're going to step off into eternity. And you might have been the last hope they had before eternity in hell. The last one. But how often do we go after the law? Is it a lifestyle about us, or is it something, again, it's just that chore. It's that duty we do and we just try to get it done. If we're out there 30 minutes, we're lucky and we're just going about and we did it and now I'm done and I'm going on. But I guarantee you, if you were lost, you'd hope somebody cared enough to come to talk to you, regardless of how you looked and where you lived and what you said and your attitude. You would hope to God somebody would have some compassion on you. Listen, I just ask you this morning, what do you seek after? What are you seeking? What is your life about? What is it that you pursue after? What is it that it, by any means possible, you seek to attain it? I've got several more points here, but I'm not going to preach them. The next point I'm not going to preach it, but 1 Corinthians 14:12 talks about seeking to excel at edifying. Well, isn't that interesting? What's edifying means to build up, to encourage. As a Christian, I'm supposed to seek to excel at edifying the brethren. I'll tell you what, I found some Baptists, they excelled at tearing down the brethren. They excelled at all kinds of, but excel at edifying. That's what, and many more that we're supposed to seek. Listen, we should seek God. We should seek the house of God, the word of God. We should seek the lost. And then the last thing I was going to preach on is seek heavenly things, not earthly things. Listen, I ask you this morning, what is it that you're seeking after? Are you seeking after the right things? Are you seeking God with all your heart? Are you saved here this morning? If you're not saved, you know what God's doing? He's looking for you. He's seeking for you. It's no accident that you're here this morning. God is working all the time behind the scenes to bring sinners to Him, to work in hearts of saved people alike. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray here this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed.